probably you do too, and Alan asked us this morning, is are you ready for Christmas? And my answer is pretty much always no, not until the very last minute, and honestly, sometimes not even then. At about the start of November, every year, without fail, I think this year's going to be different. This year, I'm going to get ahead of the game. This year, there will be no panic, no feeling that there aren't enough days left or hours left in the days that are left. And when Charlie, doing his advent calendar, first thing in the morning, says with great excitement something like, there are only 10 days left, I will absolutely not be the person who puts their head in their hands and goes, oh no, oh no. That's not going to be me, absolutely not. And yet, here we are again in 2019. So I'll have the same intentions next November, and you are perfectly at liberty to suggest to me at that point that this year I said I'd like it to be different next year. So no, I'm certainly not ready in a practical sense at all, and I'll join some of you, no doubt, in the ridiculous queues at Lidl or Waitrose tomorrow morning. But I still have 2 days to go, and from past experience, I know that I will be ready enough. But I also think I fall short in my readiness in other ways. We're in Advent, a time of waiting, anticipating, getting ready for the coming of Jesus to the world at Christmas. The kids have all got their Advent calendars, which in our house means chocolate at breakfast time, which doesn't happen the rest of the year, I promise you. And a sense of the passing of time, counting down to the big event, which, as I've mentioned, brings out the absolute worst in me. But as adults, there are books or apps with daily readings, questions to ponder, to help us get ready for Christmas and all it means. Some of you may have been doing those through Advent. Now, Liz Bradley gave me a book this year, which I've done rather sporadically, but I have done quite a lot of it, which goes through Luke's gospel account of the Nativity. And as I've gone through it, one of the things that struck me more powerfully this year than it has before is the Song of Mary, when she's with her cousin Elizabeth. Both women who were, for very different reasons, very surprised to be pregnant. Elizabeth, because she was way too old to conceive, and Mary, because, as we're told, she was a virgin, not yet married to Joseph. It's a song of joy and amazement, yes, at what God is doing in her life, at the extraordinary job that he's given her to do. But it's also a song about justice, and it feels like it has particular resonance to the world and to this country in these times. Now, Christian Aid are running a Christmas campaign this year to help mothers around the world escape poverty, and they've put the Magnificat, as it's called, at the centre of that. So here it is. We're not 100% sure this video is going to work, but we'll have a go. It may be slightly out of sync, but you'll get the gist. This from Luke 1, read by a collection of rather wonderful women who include the theologian Paula Gooder, the director of the religion think tank Theos, Elizabeth Oldfield, and vicar and one of my Pause for Thought contributors, Rachel Mann, amongst others. So let's have a look at the Magnificat.
My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour.
For he has looked with favour on the lowliness of his servant.
Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed.
For the Mighty One has done great things for me,
and holy is his name.
His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation.
He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts.
He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly.
He has filled the hungry with good things
and sent the rich away empty.
He has helped his servant Israel
in remembrance of his mercy,
according to the promise he made to our ancestors,
to Abraham and to his descendants forever.
So those words, and let's pop the words up on the screen now. Mary's song, the Magnificat, is radical and revolutionary. So much so that it was actually banned in Guatemala for fear it might inspire oppressed people to riot. Mary sings about the proud being scattered, the powerful brought down from their thrones, the rich sent away empty. It's a song that rails against inequality and proclaims liberation. I'm really trying not to step too firmly into the political landscape here, but we can't avoid the fact, I think, that we live in a divided, unjust, and increasingly chaotic world. And unless we confront it, it's only going to get worse. The signs are not good. I've been really shocked at how much my own kind of personal foundations have been rocked over the last couple of years. And in the last couple of months, I think I've worked out a little bit about why that is, and I want to share it with you. I've come to realise that though I genuinely, absolutely genuinely feel pain and deep concern for people in other parts of the world who are victims of corruption, societal breakdown, extreme poverty and inequality, I have to admit that somewhere deep down there has been something in me which felt quite reassured that I was doing that from a place of security, a country with a firm, unshakable, solid foundation of decency, honour and justice. That somehow our belief here in fair play, our ridiculous politeness, our integrity and our difficult to define Britishness would always win out. That we would somehow always be a beacon of sense in the world and we'd basically be fine. But with all that's happened over the past few years, it feels to me as if our country is as vulnerable to chaos as any other. We no longer, in my view, have any reason to take any sort of moral high ground. For me, that illusion's been shattered. And actually, I feel quite shattered as my eyes have been opened to signs of an entirely subconscious, but actually, I think, horribly deep-rooted arrogance and complacency in myself. And some of that may resonate with you too. So how am I responding to that? Well, there's certainly a need to repent, recognising my own need for forgiveness and humility. So I'm doing some of that. Clearly, I can only be responsible for that in me, and it's a work in progress. But actually, I'd quite like us as a country to do that too, to face up to our failings, to admit that we must have messed up because the public discourse is not marked by politeness, but is at times brutal and personal, because extreme views and threats are in danger of becoming normalised. And because thousands of families, children, individuals are suffering terribly, living in poverty and despair in what is apparently still the fifth richest economy in the world. I'd like us as a nation to pledge to work together for a different country and a different world, and to stand up for justice and equality and for compassion and kindness. I pray that that will happen. But as people of faith, I think we also need to do that in our own lives. In Women's Group this term, we've been following a study course on prophecy. And in it, we've understood more of the reality that God is always at work somewhere. Now, one of the things Jesus did was join in constantly with that divine activity. It came entirely naturally to him, of course, what with him actually being God, but coming to earth at Christmas, becoming fully human too, he modelled for us a way of living our life. So one of the things we can do is follow his lead. The best New Year resolution I could make is to decide to constantly ask God, what are you doing? Where are you doing it? What are you wanting here, now? What's my part in that? How should I be? What should I do? What should I say? And understanding that God can and will use us, you and me, to join in with his work in this broken world. To be alert for signs of his activity, binding up the brokenhearted, lifting the humble, filling the hungry, not just with food, but with hope, and to really get stuck in. I think that Mary's song prompts us, certainly prompted me, to take a good look at ourselves, to confront any complacency and pride, to recognise that anything we do have is a gift and a privilege, to work for justice and equality for everyone in society, and to understand that God sending his son Jesus to earth at Christmas was and is to bless us, and that none of us have done anything to deserve that blessing, and that's called grace. So this Christmas, never mind being ready in all the practical ways we want to be, will we be ready to receive that radical, ridiculous grace? And are we ready Can we just have the last slide up, Helen? Thank you. Are we ready to hear the nativity story again this week that we've heard hundreds and hundreds of times? But this time, with open hearts, ears and eyes, an open soul to what God may be wanting to say to us. Something new, a surprise maybe, in that story as we hear it. And are we ready in 2020 to be freshly alert to divine activity in our broken world and be prepared to join in? Let's just pray. This is a prayer from Christian Aid, a prayer in anticipation. In anticipation of you, a girl raised her voice in courage and praise, in joy and expectation, in resistance and struggle. In anticipation of you, put flesh on our faith, to put words into action, to call for equality, to work for justice. In anticipation of you, let the lowly be raised, the crushed be restored, the bruised be resilient, the powerful be restrained. In anticipation of you, let us be filled with hope, to say yes to your will, to share our gifts and resources, to work together for a world reborn. In your name we pray. Amen.